Hi, this is the Dark Tangent. The speech you're about to listen to is recorded at DEF CON 4 at the Monte Carlo Casino and Resort, freshly built in 1996. Copyright, all right reserves, except permission is expressly granted for non-profit educational use. Now sit back and relax. If you have any questions, please contact me at dtangent@defcon.org or visit our website, www.defcon.org. Thank you, and kick back and relax.
Nice podium. That little clock up here, it's pretty cool. Hello, this is going to be fairly basic, but I'm going to do this anyway because I want to and I'm enthusiastic about it. Windows 95 came out last year, just about DEF CON time, and I talked about it a little bit, but I wasn't in on the Win 95 betas, I wasn't keeping up with it, and I didn't know much about it then, so I spent the last year looking at Windows 95, talking to people who've done things with Windows 95 viruses, and this is what I got to say about it. A lot of this is conceptual stuff. I've implemented some things. My first goal is to implement a fully Windows 95 compliant stealth boot sector virus, and that's pretty close to being done now. There's not a whole lot of future in boot sector viruses, but you know, it was a goal. I had to start somewhere. To start out with, a lot of viruses are rendered useless by Windows 95. File inspectors will work sometimes in DOS boxes erratically. Low-level file inspectors like Dir2, 1963, stuff like that, gets completely nuked by Windows 95. Boot sector viruses, some of them work fine, but cause 32-bit disk access errors because they don't set the disk handler address right, in the way that Windows would expect. So pretty much our current crop of viruses are fairly useless under Windows 95. We've got the macro viruses that I'm not really a big fan of, but they're becoming the most prevalent viruses now. Windows 95 applications use a different executable format, the PE format. PE was used under Windows NT first, and PE is semi-documented. Microsoft was nice enough to pull the documentation of the format off the new SDK. It's in an older WinNE, either an SDK or DDK, but Vlad got it, and Vlad has it in Vlad number 6. If you haven't seen it yet, go ahead and grab it. They just lost on their FTP site, and I can't give you one off the top of my head. Somebody's got it. Get on Pound Virus and ask like Metabolist or somebody, and they'll get it to you. Check out slide number 6. They've got their Boza virus, the BZAS virus in it. That's the first Windows 95 infector. It just so happens it's also direct action. The rumor is that in the next month or so, there's going to be a resident Windows 95 virus release. Vlad's got one, and one Australian guy has written one. I can't pry out of either of them how they've done it, but I know they're not virtual device drivers. And that's really the first thing I'm going to talk about is implementing Windows 95 virus using a virtual device driver. The boot sector virus that I've pretty much got implemented does several different neat things. First of all, it just happens it works with AMI CMOS to check the boot sector virus protection flag in the CMOS. And should that flag be set, it goes ahead and turns that flag off and lets the machine continue running normally. On the next boot, if they should happen to, you know, run the virus again, it's going to infect the machine. It's going to look to see the flags off, and it's going to infect the machine. If they go into their CMOS and they look, that flag is going to be shut off, and they might, oh, my flag shut off. But they, you know, it's not going to arouse too much suspicion. The virus hooks in 13 from the boot sector and starts hanging around like a stealth boot sector virus. Windows checks the disk handler address that's set in int 2F. So I kind of cheat. I wait until we read a sector that's the beginning of an EXE file with the MZ header. I know DOS services are active at that point, so I go ahead and set the disk handler address to myself. At that point, in Win 3.1, 32-bit disk access error is gone. After that, I also hook int 2F, and I got this by reverse engineering a Win 3.1 DXD from Microsoft's knowledge base. This part isn't tested yet, but when Windows goes into protected mode, it sends an int to F to tell everybody, hey, we're going to protected mode. So everyone that's hooked into F can pass back a list of parameters in a structure to become a BXD when Windows goes into protected mode. At that point, you're ring zero, you're a virtual device driver, you have access to all the memory, you can do anything you want. I don't know the whole structure of the structure. I know what parts I need to change because I reverse engineered their code and saw how they did it. But I'm too cheap by the SDK, I think it should be free anyway. At that point, that's where I stopped. The virus is supposedly going to be Win31 compliant, but I haven't been able to get a Win95 compliant yet. I'd be interested in any input that anybody has on what a good book is for low-level Windows 95. I've gotten to look at several in bookstores, but the bookstore look isn't really enough to convince me on any one of them, and I don't want to go out and spend, you know, $80, $100 on books to find out that two or three are crap. The goal with the boot sector virus is to wedge yourself in between the hard drive control and the floppy drive control BXDs. You go between the kernel and those BXDs. You handle calls that come through you, and you stealth everything, and the user is none the wiser. And I don't know how this is going to stack up to current antivirus products. I'm kind of interested in FPROTS, BetaFellows, Gatekeeper BXD. I don't know whether it's monitoring the chain or not, or whether it can be disabled or not, but considering that you, again, have access to all the memory, you can do anything you want, you may just be able to stomp their code and just make the modifications and their code is no longer effective. The really interesting part of Windows 95 that has nothing to do with virtual device drivers and low-level structures is that now we have a way to access hardware as a virus that we didn't under DOS. Windows 95 provides us APIs that let us do things that we couldn't do before. Because we can't ask the user, hey, what port's your modem on? They get a little wise there. But Windows 95, they'll hand that right out to us, so we know what port their modem's on, or whether or not they've got a TCP stack, and if they do, is it active right now? And which gets me to the point that Windows 95 machines sit on a lot of land. And I know earlier I set up a Windows NT351 installation with 40 Windows 95 machines on, and plugged into our hub was a line coming out of a router, so the whole LAN sat on the net. Well, those machines are all secure because they're not running any services. Well, what if a virus was to provide services in those machines on some illicit TCP port, hiding quietly? Maybe the code's encrypted, and you've got to feed it a key before the code gets decrypted, so that, you know, if they happen to run into it with a port scanner somehow on port 3137. They can't make the thing do anything. My first thought was a miniature FTP server, not actually using the FTP protocol, but using the same kind of idea, allowing me to serve your hard drive from far away, possibly encrypted too, so that if their packets are sniffing their own LAN, they're not going to see me. They're not going to see me doing it per se. After I thought about that for a little bit, I thought a neat idea might be a virus that's upgradable remotely. Let you swap out any part of the code you want, so that if you get a new version of the virus, you can send it on. Perhaps even a version of the virus that goes ahead and uses NetBIOS browser lists to find other machines on the net, see if they're running the virus, and do you a favor of upgrading them so you don't have to do them all at once. There's a potential there for some real parallel processing, too. Well, as a side note, if you wanted to, you know, delegate each machine a space of, or a piece of some key space and, you know, do some encryption breaking, that might be a way to do it. You could just borrow somebody's LAN during the early hours of the morning. The other possibility, of course, about upgradable code remotely is that you could sit and encrypt the hard drives for every one of their machines seamlessly. Every time they read a sector, it's decrypted and fed to them with a public key encryption algorithm. Then, on a certain day, you instruct the virus, hey, lose the private key. Huh, now all their hard drives are all encrypted up, and or maybe even at file level, so, you know, they can at least boot, but all their data files are encrypted up, and they can't get them out. And then, you know, maybe the virus pops up a window, hey, wire some money to this here Swift account, and we'll let you have your machine back. Now, I don't know that there's actually a future in anything like that, and I'm certainly not advocating that, and I'm not going to write that, so if you see that next week, I didn't do it. But it is a fairly neat idea. And in all this, I got to thinking, and cryptography is your friend, is kind of what I said in my outline here. But I wasn't thinking at the time I wrote it. I don't encourage anybody to use like IDEA or not IDEA, like DES or any algorithm that's not available out of the United States, because I really, you don't want to get in with the NSA and something stupid like a virus. I don't know the specifics, but I just, you know, I hear NSA, I cower. Well, my next section, Windows NT will not save you now. I set up a Windows NT 3.5.1 installation. When it came out of the box, it was not secure. It wasn't imperative this machine be tight security, and we didn't audit or anything. It was in a high school, so, you know, at most the kids are going to crash the server, we'll store up and get back up, it'll be fine. But it got me thinking, Windows NT getting a larger and larger market share, especially in web servers, presents a really interesting future for hacking. With Unix, it's traditionally pretty hard to not know a damn thing about how it works and pull yourself off as an admin. I mean, I guess you could do it, but somebody would see through you and you'd get hacked. But as NT sits now, you don't have to know anything. And with NT 4.0, we're going to have wizards to help us with everything. We don't need to know how it works. We can act like we're the greatest admin in the world and not know a damn thing. And I think for hackers, this is a great opportunity, because this offers NT machines available for exploitation. I only have preliminary information about McAfee's super-duper web scanning firewall. I've heard that it's a modified Linux kernel that understands FTP, HTTP, I believe SMTP, and hell, I think that's it. Yeah, it would be. Reassembles files as they come in, scans them for viruses. This makes all the people who are looking out for the macroviruses happy, because there's something watching the data coming in. But these, as far as I know, as it sits right now, it's an application level service. So if you're using protocols that aren't of an application that it understands, the web scanning firewalls render pretty useless. I don't want to discuss philosophy, and I certainly don't want to discuss, you know, needing a college diploma. God, that's weird. But I can try and field questions. I'm not anywhere near being an expert in the Win95 API yet. I hate the call construct. Like Vlad said, they were drunk, possibly even high, when they thought it up. But I can try and field questions about viruses, assembler, yeah, just about anything you can ask, I'll try and field. Eli. I wasn't the person that set it up originally. When I got there originally, a couple students set it up, and they said they created in a secure manner, created an application share they shared to all the machines on the network that happened to be world writable. And I think that was their ignorance when they set that up. When I set it up, I didn't like... Well, I set it up after them. I took it down. They had a fat file system up and things that should have been there. I made it single block of ATFS. Felt like it was secure there. Set it up and started adding users. And right away I thought these user privileges are too much in the default account. There are too many default accounts. An admin that doesn't know what's going on is going to leave those default accounts sit. And there are some there that have potential to allow break-ins. I guess when you install, I didn't install like any of the other back office series, but apparently SQL Server adds some default accounts and just leaves doors open that shouldn't be there. I think a lot of it was my general distaste for Microsoft and Windows coming through, but I'd much prefer, you know, a Unix box or something like that. If I could have secured, I could have at least, you know, ask somebody and say, hey, you know, for any of this is secure. But with the NT box, I don't feel like I know well enough whether or not somebody's going to be able to get in. There are too many gray areas, too many areas that are semi-documented. There was a hand up there. Were you in the back? I've never spoofed or sniffed on anything at all. I'm not sure. That sniffing does bring up a point that I wanted to mention in here that I forgot to. You know, people say you want to break into somebody's site, break into their ISP and put a sniffer on one of their ISP employees' Linux boxes. Well, the answer is you don't let your employees run their Linux boxes. But, you know, Windows 95 box, that's okay. There aren't any sniffers for Windows 95. Well, what if we had a virus that just happened to also sniff and, you know, provide service, outboard service, so that I can come in and download my sniffer logs remotely and use a Windows 95 box to sniff a LAN? And I don't know that's anything that I'd ever want to try to implement, but it does sound like a fun project. I don't know nearly enough about sniffers because I'm C illiterate to do it right now. But as I become more C literate with the assertions of these guys, I'm sure I'll be able to do it a little better. It would be neat to do a Windows 95 sniffer, something that we can, you know, give out to people so that, you know, at work with their Win95 machine on the land, they can have a little fun with it. I'm all for that. Yeah.
Do you have any experience with the various tools that are available for writing VXDs and things on the
No, I do not. I've seen a C toolkit that I know that with your C compiler, you're going to have to make modifications to runtime libraries and things like that because the architecture of the memory is different enough that the compile straight out of a Visual C isn't going to work. I don't have any experience with Windows compilers except an occasional cool Visual Basic tag. But no, I've never played with the C tools or anything like that. I'm wary of writing anything virus related in C just because I've got the specter of how do I relocate that code sitting in the back of my head. That these guys here said they could dispel that, but I'll talk to them later. I'm an assembler junkie when it comes to viruses. I feel like I have to have total control of the machine. And, you know, you can't say, hey, I did this in C, it's basically virus, but you can't assemble it. Actually, I'll tell a semi-humorous story about that just because I told somebody last night here last. Last year I handed out those CDC floppies, and some of them were faulty, so they're my floppy drive. But the ones that weren't faulty, I had some bootblock on them, and it displayed this nice gradient black to red screen, and the Cold of Dead Cat logo, and some joke text. But when I ran that the first time, I came up, did the gradient screen, and displayed everything backwards. And damn it! I had just coded the loop wrong. The way I was doing it would write stuff to the screen, but it was writing it backwards. So I loaded the source up, made the changes, reassembled it, and then noted that it only was 8 bytes bigger. So I went back and I deleted the changes and I put the text in backwards and just recompiled it, and wow, I saved 8 bytes by doing that. That is why I love assembly. Yeah, I saw you there.
One of my questions was, have you done any of the NT stuff where you have some remote administration facilities, and then there's a whole billion things you can try apps and then with our NT network? Can you do this and the machine goes, oh, we'll have to do that in a month, and I think that's great. And then I realize you can end the month or 4 times that day, and that room is still unlocked.
Not especially. When I installed that high school network, they had one server, and we didn't install remote administration on any of the workstations because I actually cloned them all from the same data tape. The administration of those consisted of changing the data image and uploading it back to all the machines. I do know there are holes in the remote access for 95 that makes the local hard drive, I believe, world readable while remote administration is going on as a hidden share. but I can't tell you any more about it than that. The Hack Microsoft page has some stuff about firmware as a service on it. Anybody know where that is?
C2.org.
Yeah, thank you. C2.org. And hunt it up there. Well, I feel good about it. So, somebody else?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, sir.
Yeah, you talked about encryption a while back. Have you ever had any people looking to say encrypting Windows swap files, and you're talking about swap files? There's been some concern over passphrase and, like, the importance of swap to disk.
Right, right. So the memory gets swapped, and they haven't securely cleansed the stack, and there's a passphrase in there. It sounds haphazard to me. It's a swap file. When I think of a swap file, I think of like a big bowl of stew. It's pretty haphazard and chaotic. Yeah, if something doesn't properly cleanse the stack, though, that's go for it by all means. There'll be passwords there. I feel good about myself, and I'm going to put the mic back up here on the nice podium and walk away.